Does God's glory fill your life? Does God's glory fill your body? You remember when in the New Testament that they went after a couple of the disciples, and then one of the things that they said is that they said they took note that these men had been with Jesus. What was going on? There was something on the inside that came out on the outside.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze continues our series titled, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Holiness in the Body.
If you look at your notes this morning, there was a song that I was introduced to when I first came to faith in Jesus Christ. The title of this song is, How Big is God? The chorus of the song says, How big is God? How big and wide his domain? To try to tell, these lips can only start. He's big enough to rule his mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. What an awesome thought. That the God of the universe not only can live in my heart, but that he wants to live in my heart. As we look at the scriptures, there are several verses that confirm this truth. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. The Jewish leaders came to Jesus on one occasion and asked him to show him a sign. In response to their question, he said, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then they said unto him, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? The Apostle John, who is the writer of this gospel, he gives us this editorial note. He said that when Jesus was speaking of the temple, that he wasn't speaking of the building, the temple, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. So Jesus is talking about the temple of our bodies. And the fact that God wants to live in us and that our bodies are temples, this should be our prayer. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a vessel to receive the indwelling presence of the Spirit of the living God. I like that picture right there because it symbolizes the fact that all of us should stretch out our arms and stretch out our hands and say, Lord, let your Spirit come and live in me. Lord, let me be that sanctuary that you desire for me to be. Now, when we think about this idea of God living in us, if you'll go to that slide that talks about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that when you think about God living in us, and when the Bible talks about the believer being the temple of God, this is a reference to the Holy Spirit living in us. This means that anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes
and abides in you. He takes up a permanent dwelling in you. Now, when we think about the Old Testament, we saw that the Spirit came and went, that the Spirit would come upon people to do certain things. And so, man, what a blessing it is to know that in this New Testament era, that the Holy Spirit does not come on us and anoint us for a specific task, but the Holy Spirit abides with us permanently. And so in the Old Testament, David prayed, "Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me." We don't have to pray that in the New Testament, because if we are saved, we have received the Holy Spirit, and that God lives within us. And there are many verses in the New Testament that let us know this truth. But I'm just going to pick out one, for instance. Let's look at the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In verse 16. Jesus says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may," look at this, "abide with you forever." That other comforter was the Holy Spirit. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it receiveth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him because for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you shall see me, because I live, you shall live also. The Holy Spirit abides within us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. God says that our bodies are a temple, a sanctuary. If you go to that next slide. Next one. This is the tabernacle in the wilderness. So when God said in Exodus 25, "Let them build a sanctuary that I may dwell among them," this is what they built. And so they had, where the big fires coming from, they had the altar they would offer sacrifices on. Behind that is the laver where the priests would wash. And then that cloud of smoke coming up out of the tent of meeting is what's known as the Shekinah. And that is where the glory of the Lord, that is where the presence of the Lord resided. And God said, "Let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." If we go to the next slide, we'll see a cutoff there. And what this cutoff shows is now we have moved from the outer court and we have moved back into the inner court. And in the inner court, you see the lampstand, you see the table of showbread, and you see the altar of incense. And then cut off from the Holy of Holies, we get a glimpse into where God resided, the Ark of the Covenant. That this is where the Word of God resided. This is where the presence of God resided back in the Old Testament. That's the tabernacle in the wilderness. The next significant temple that we see is Solomon's temple. The tabernacle in the wilderness is when they were journeying from Egypt to the Promised Land. Once they got into the Promised Land, they built a temple. And this is what's known as Solomon's temple. Again, we see a cutaway so that we can look inside of the temple. Like in the Old Testament, you see on the outside, and I meant to bring my pointer, I forgot to bring it this morning, but you see up in the top right-hand column, the altar where they offered the sacrifices. And then you see down here in the middle at the bottom, you see the laver where the priests wash. And now we go in to that first place, which is the Holy of Holies. And this again is where the lampstand, the table of showbread, and the altar of incense was. And then cut away again back in Solomon's temple, you go all the way back into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was and where the presence of God resided. And so we see that our bodies are sanctuaries. Our bodies are tabernacles. Our bodies are temples for the Spirit of the living God to come and live in. And as I began to think about this, I thought that there are some similarities between the tabernacle in the wilderness, Solomon's temple, and the body of believers. And the first one that I want to point out is this. It was the place where the Lord dwelt. The tabernacle in the Old Testament was the place where the Lord dwelt. Look what he recorded in Exodus 25. We read that, verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The temple was the place where God dwelt. God told David that Solomon would build an house for my name, 1 Chronicles 22:10. Solomon later said to the Lord, I have built a house of habitation for thee and a place for thy dwelling forever. That God wanted to dwell in the tabernacle wilderness. He wanted to dwell in Solomon's temple. And then we read in the New Testament, God dwells in the believer. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:19. That God lives in you. If you could go back to that one slide where it says that God lives in me, that big with the big words on it. All right, if you could go back there real quick, because I want us to do something. I normally don't get us to do this, but I want us to do something. When we look at this, can you get it? There you go. Thank you. My body is the temple of the living God. Let's all say that together. My body is the temple of the living God. Now say it like you mean it. My body is the temple of the living God. Wow. That this earthen vessel, this vessel of clay, is where the Spirit of the living God resides. And he resides in two ways, because you know this can sound kind of crazy, right? God lives in us. You know, you think about that. That's really a weird concept. All right. I mean, you know, it's just somebody just coming along and you tell them that God lives in you, they think you're crazy. So what does that mean when we say that God lives in us? Well, first of all, it means spatially that God is omnipresent. And that there is a space in us that God lives in. That there is a space. Now, some people will tell you that, well, you know, God is just omnipresent. He's everywhere. And so that's how we can. No, no. The Bible is very clear that he lives in you. If you are a Christian, that you are a container for the living God and that God lives in you spatially. But also, God lives in you relationally. So he occupies a space within you, but then what does he do? When he occupies that space, then he what? He relates to you. And he relates to you in your mind. He relates to you in your will. He relates to you in your emotions. And so that the indwelling of God is in you, and that, man, we ought to really take this thing seriously when we think about it, that wherever I go, I represent God. Whatever I do, I'm taking God with me because he's in me. And so I pray to the Lord, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, Lord, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Is that your prayer today, saints? As we go through this series on holiness, is your prayer that your body would be a temple of the living God? The second thing that we see as we make this comparison, I was researching this and found out that somebody estimated that first the tabernacle in the wilderness that Moses built with the lambskins and all the different brass and gold-plated metals, that somebody estimated to that in today's terms would be $60 million. $60 million. Now, this is unbelievable. Solomon, who pretty much overlaid everything that he did in the temple with gold, it was estimated that Solomon's temple today would be worth over $140 billion. $140 billion. And I don't know anybody. I mean, I've seen some expensive places, lived in by Hollywood people and by millionaires, but I don't think anybody got a crib for $140 billion. You know, that's a lot of, as they would say, a lot of jack, man. That's a lot of scratch. Can you imagine a $140 billion facility, edifice? But that was the place that they built for God. And so when we come to the New Testament, we need to realize that our bodies are of great worth. David said that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That your body is a construction that's been hand-designed by God. And then he tells you that you are of great worth. Because now you are no longer your own, but you have what? You have been bought with a price. That there's been a price that has been paid for you, for your body. And what is that price? What is that price? You have not been redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. The Solomon's temple was made out of gold. God said, you haven't been redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That you are so valuable to God that he let his only begotten son spill his blood. That's how much he thought of you. That's how much he thought of your spirit. That's how much he thought of your body, that he let his only begotten son come and die for you. That those vessels, those temples, those tabernacles in the Old Testament were valuable. But as you look at your body, which is a facility for the living God to come and live in. And so let me say this very quickly, that God don't want to live in any junk. Now, again, I'm not talking about people who get sick or have other issues, illnesses. I'm not talking about that, because, we realize that, that's a part of this life. But as believers that are containers of the living God, God don't want you going to places that you should not be going and doing things that you should not be doing. Why? Because he don't want to live in any junk. So when you take God somewhere that he doesn't want to be, then you become a broken down crib. You need rehab. You need to turn on do-it-yourself TV, right? And you need rehab, all right, because your crib is broken down. And you want to provide an edifice for God because you are of great worth to him. Man, just think that. People walk around with low self-esteem, and people walk around, beating themselves up. But, you are of great worth to God. Your body is of great worth to God because he wants to come and live inside it. It's valuable to him. It's worthy to him. It's worth something to God. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how high you've climbed or how low you've gone, that your body is worth something to God. And he wants to come in. And he wants to live in you. The next comparison that I see is that God's presence filled both places. God's presence filled both places. The tabernacle, it says in Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34, that when they finished building the tabernacle, that the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God's glory filled the tabernacle. Look, this is powerful. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1, look when they finished Solomon's temple. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. God's glory filled the place. Does God's glory fill your life? Does God's glory fill your body? You remember when in the New Testament that they went after a couple of the disciples, and then one of the things that they said is that they said they took note that these men had been with Jesus. What was going on? There was something on the inside that came out on the outside. Something on the inside came out on. If God is in you, if God is in you, at some point in time, his glory is going to radiate through you. And that's why Paul said in the New Testament, and be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the glory of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. That word filled actually means to be under control, under the control of the Spirit. Does your life reflect the glory of God? Jesus said, let men see your good works, that they may glorify, that you may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are you glorifying the Lord? When people see you coming, do they see you like the disciples walking down and that your presence is radiating the glory of God? Or do they see somebody coming with pointed ears and wearing a red suit and carrying a pitchfork? You know, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There are some people that when they see people coming, when they see them, oh, man, here come the devil incarnate right here. Oh, man, so much do I want my life to reflect the glory of God, to be filled with his Spirit and to be under the control of his Spirit and to reflect the glory of God. The fourth thing we see, they were both places that held the word of God. So if you go to that next slide with the Ark of the Covenant, right there, back in the Holy of Holies, in the Holy of Holies is what's known as the Ark of the Covenant. This was back there where the presence, where God's Shekinah glory was the Ark of the Covenant. And you see the Ark is that little box there on the bottom, and on top of it is what's called the mercy seat. And that's where these two angels face each other and spread their wings toward one another. That's the mercy seat. But you know what? There were three things that were in the ark. Three things that were in the ark. One thing was a pot of manna. You know, that they, when they were in the wilderness and as they came through the wilderness, they put a pot of manna in there. The second thing was Aaron's rod that budded. And the third thing that was in there was the Ten Commandments, the law of God. What did the Holy of Holies contain? It contained the very law of God, the Ten Commandments. And so as believers, that our life should reflect the law of God. Look what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means that our life should be filled with the word. That anytime we have the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus and look at the word of God, that we should take advantage of that, because our life should be filled with the word. Just like the word was back in the tabernacle, just like the word was back in the temple. It says in Exodus 40 and verse 21.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Holiness in the Body from our series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Holiness in the Body, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Holiness in the Body. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Holiness in the Body. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit anchoredinjesus.org, you can also request the entire 10-part series, How to Stay Holy in an Unholy World. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that's anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.